Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Mets beat the Yankees. Boy, it's a good day, isn't it? 800-919-3776. Lot to get into today. The anthem never goes away. NFL has no idea how to deal with it. President continues to get himself involved in it. Mets beat the Yankees. Looked like this was going to be a laugher. Up 6-1. Looked easy, but in typical Mets fashion, Lugo, Gesellman, find their way out of this mess. No thanks to Ahmed Rosario, who is booting the ball all over the place last night. But last night was kind of a microcosm of where we are with the Mets and the Yankees. Yankees need starting pitching. Is Domingo Herman a Band-Aid to get you through a couple starts? Yes. You can't every fifth day go with Domingo Herman. All the Yankees need with that elite bullpen, all they need is someone to give them 5 2/3 of three-run ball. That's it. A pedestrian outing anytime. And he couldn't give them that last night. He was bad last night. Put them in a huge hole last night. Yankees fall behind 6-1. And to their credit, and they always do, their bullpen is excellent then. All right, Holder did well. Green did well. Even Shreve did well. Now, Shreve got smacked around a little bit, but no runs last night. And the Mets tried to give this thing away. As hard as they couldn't give this thing away. But the Red Sox win again. 5.5 games now. And I talked to my producer last night, who's a big Yankees apologist, and he says, well, it's only 4 in the loss column, Dave. Okay. 4 in the loss column. Still 5.5 games behind the Boston Red Sox. I'm not worried about Gary Sanchez, but when was the last time, if ever, you saw teams trying to get to Gary Sanchez? The Mets intentionally walked Aaron Hicks last night to get to Sanchez to put the tying run on base, and even that didn't matter. He struck out. But you can't continue with Domingo Herman. And in fact, they won't continue with Domingo Herman. They've sent him down. Luis Cessa is going to come up and take his spot in the rotation. But if you think, and this is for the short term and the long term, if you think that the Yankees have enough starting pitching, you're crazy. Now, I believe, because remember, this is the Mets. This is the Mets. They can't hit the ball out of the infield. The fact they scored 7 runs is miraculous last night. And a great job getting that 7th run. Really, in all sincerity, great job. Base hit, wild pitch, ground him over, sac fly. Great job, big run, big job by the Mets. But in all sincerity, if you're the Yankees, you can't count on Gray, Cessa, twice every 5 days. You can't. Do I trust Sabathia, who says he's going to come back, by the way, next year? 100%. He's that guy. He's going to give you 5 2/3 of 2 runs. 5 2/3 of 3 runs. So when you hand it over to Green, and or Holder, and or Betances, and or Shreve, and or Chapman, he's done his job. Tanaka, fine. Severino, horse. Ace, get it. Great. You're 5.5 games back now. It's a big number. You have 10 games against the Red Sox now. I mean, you're putting yourself in position where you have to win. Again, there's a lot of baseball to go. There really is. And you hate to panic after one game, and there's no reason to. But you're putting yourself in position where you go 5-5 in those 10 games, and you're treading water, sitting here at 5.5 games back. It's kind of unacceptable right now. Yankees need to make a move. And I don't say it because of last night. And I actually believe that Sonny Gray will come out there and give you a good start today. Because remember, although the Mets smacked the ball around a little bit last night, they're not a very good offensive team. They're not at all. I mean, they're playing Matt Dendecker in center field. I'm on Twitter last night. Now, Do I think you should know who he is? Probably. But Mets fans that I know and follow are like, who is Matt Dendecker? He was a Met. He's a journeyman is who he is. You're playing him in center field? And how about that play from Rosario? Did that play not make you think of that Luis Castillo drop years ago? It did. It had to. That's what I thought of. I mean, Rosario, get out of the way. All you have to do is get out of the way. That's all you have to do. The ball is called, get out of the way. He couldn't do it. 800-919-3776. So I'm feeling good. Mets win. I'm watching the Mets post game. All excited. Because we have nothing to play for. So spoiling or hurting or painting the Yankees, even if it's a pathetic existence, that's our existence right now. That's all we have right now. So you can laugh at it, and you don't understand it, certainly, because the Yankees are, even when they rebuild, they're well in contention into September. So I get it. Laugh at it. The Mets are the laughing stock. And you're right. They are. The Mets are the laughing stock right now in New York baseball and beyond. But two things. One, that laughing stock beat your team last night. And number two, I'm in this great mood, lying in bed, watching the post game, all excited. And then it comes out. Cespedes says, well, you know, I'm going to need double surgery on my feet. What? I thought it was a quad. What? Oh, yeah. And if I receive the surgery, which obviously he needs, 8 to 10 months. What? 8 to 10 months? No Cespedes? Best offensive player? You see, last night he comes back, home run. I mean, it's incredible. In fact, we have the audio of this, Ty. Can we play Cespedes discussing his feet and his Achilles?
I realized that the problem and the cause of my problems are my heels, because when I feel some pain on my heels, I started to modify my walking way, my running way, or even my standing. And that's the main cause or the main reason why I'm having this type of problems in my legs. The only way that I can avoid my heels to keep bothering me or getting me hurt is having a surgery. I'm still thinking about it because the recovery process takes over 8 to 10 months.
8 to 10 months? This is something he needs. Why is it not done? Listen, I'm all for beating the Yankees in July also, but 8 to 10 months. So if you had it 3 weeks ago, it'd be July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April. Boom, 10 months. Comes back in May. So now we're going to hem and haw, and I have Cespedes at his locker last night telling us, oh, yeah, by the way, I have major heel issues. My Achilles could snap at any moment. I need surgery if I have it 8 to 10 months. Well, listen, he obviously needs the surgery. He can't stay healthy for more than two trips around the bases. They're pushing the guy into playing first base. Only the Mets. The manager doesn't update on us. I got the player after the game giving us this health update. Oh, yeah, my heels are a mess. My Achilles could snap at any moment. I need surgery, 8 to 10 months. That's about the time frame. Well, have the surgery. I'm all for beating the Yankees, but you could have had the surgery weeks ago, months ago. This season spiraled out of control. And in typical Mets fashion, this is what they do. It's incredible. But let's not let that rain on our parade today as the Mets find their way to a 7-5 victory over the Yankees last night. Guys, I've said it. We've all said it. It's more necessary now than it's ever seemingly been. The Yankees need starting pitching. The offense will be fine. Judge, Stanton, Sanchez, not worried about them. Andujar, when Torres comes back, Gardner, their offense is stacked. Their bullpen is elite. This team needs, and I'm not going to say desperately, but I really believe to make that run, they have to get another starter. You can't go to battle with Severino, Tanaka, CeCe, and very little else. And again, Gray was good against Baltimore. Gray will be good this afternoon against the Mets. And then you'll start to, well, maybe study. No. You need at least one starter. At least one if you're the Yankees. The Open Championship continues in this 98.7 ESPN leaderboard update brought to you by PXG Golf Clubs. Ever wonder what it's like to play the world's finest golf clubs? Call 844-PLAY-PXG or visit pxg.com to book your custom fitting. PXG, nobody makes clubs the way they do, period. Kevin Kisner, Zach Johnson with the lead. They're 6-under. They get going at 11 o'clock this morning. Now, we had a lot of discussion on this next name, and maybe someone, in fact, could either tweet it to me or call at 800-919-3776. I'm thinking it's Xander Schauffele. But
Xander Schauffele.
Schauffele?
Yes.
Schauffele.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then we don't need help. You looked that up, and you've confirmed that.
It's confirmed.
Because you work on the big golf show with Anita every week. Is that how you knew it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Schauffele. Schauffele. Anyway, he is 5-under along with Pat Perez. Tommy Fleetwood, also 5-under. Justin Rose goes bananas today. Shoots a 64. 7-under on the day. 4-under for the tourney, along with a whole host of others. Chris Wood, Tony Finau, Xander Lombard, Eric Van Ruyen, Matt Kuchar, and Rory McIlroy.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Carmelo Anthony is just... It sounds like he's going to wind up with Houston. They're going to take a big step back, I'm telling you. I guarantee you they take a giant step back. Because Ariza, now not to like the 10-year-old kid on the playground. Who would you rather have, Carmelo Anthony or Ariza and Mbamute? Well, I'd rather have Carmelo Anthony. But when you get into NBA circles, I am telling you that guys like Ariza and Mbamute, that's what drives your team. It's the PJ Tuckers. It's the Trevor Arizas. It's the Clint Capellas. It's the guys who can shoot. Now, Capella's not really a shooter, but the guys who can shoot, rebound, defend. Carmelo Anthony, at this stage of his career, I guess he adds some scoring. I guess. The last thing they need, but I guess he adds some scoring. But watch it. Watch Houston take a step back next year. Because they can't be better. Right, they won, what, 65 games? So they're not going to win more than 65. They won Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. So they're not going to do better than Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. And I mean, I'm telling you that you're going to miss those glue guys. You will. 800-919-3776. Full disclosure, guys. I can't stand this topic. But it's something, it's a necessary evil of the job. I love the job. I love the NFL. I'd love to be talking about Eli or Saquon Barkley or whoever, but this is what we have to discuss because this is the topic. This is a timely topic in the NFL, and it's not going away anytime soon because they can't figure out anything in this league. It's amazing that these same guys are receiving yearly checks for $250 million, and they have no concept, none, how to deal with the anthem, how to deal with domestic abuse, any idea. How to deal with player safety. But their game is so Teflon right now that studies come out where almost every former player is suffering from some form of CTE. Domestic violence is a huge issue. The anthem is a huge issue. And they're still making money hand over fist. I mean, they don't know what to do with all this money. And that's what it always comes down to. But let's get to the anthem. So they come out with this ridiculous ruling back in May where everyone semi-votes. You stay in the locker room, or you come out, whatever you want to do, done, thank you, now we've solved it. Which you knew was preposterous. Nothing short of preposterous. And then every team has to submit their plan if their guys kneel on the field. And the Miami Dolphins are the first team to come out with that plan. Now, they have to say of what they'd be willing to go up to. And the Dolphins say, now you can do nothing, But this has to be the max of what you'd be willing to go up to. And Stephen Ross and the Dolphins put out that they potentially would be willing to go up to 4-game suspensions. Suspensions and fines. And that's put out there, and they're the first team, and everyone freaks out, and the NFL and the NFLPA run back into their holes and say, no, no, joint statement comes out. We have to figure out a way to come up with something better. We're going to put this on hiatus for the moment. To which, whether you like him or not, and you talk about polarizing, the president of the United States has to get involved now. And he comes out with his tweet last night. Now, look, I'm not saying anything political. Why he needs to be involved in everything NFL related with everything going on in the world is beyond me, but he feels that it's necessary, and he does. So he comes out with the NFL, and this is a tweet at 6 o'clock last night from the president. The NFL national anthem debate is alive and well again. Can't believe it. Isn't it in contract that players must stand at attention? I don't believe that that's the case. Hand on heart. I don't believe that's the case. The $40 million commissioner must now make a stand. First time kneeling out for the game. Second time kneeling out for the season. No pay. Well, I don't know what the answer is going to be, but I would be very hard pressed to believe that the NFL would do something like that. First time out for the game, second time, no pay. They have to, this is what the NFL has to do. And I'm not even taking a side on this right now. The NFL has to sit down with the NFLPA and figure out a way that both sides can live with this thing. Because they have taken an issue, which, I mean, quite frankly, they didn't even used to do the anthem on the field. When I was a little kid, the players weren't out. There was no hand over heart, helmets on the ground, everyone looking at the flag. The players didn't even know the anthem went on. And now it's the biggest thing in the NFL. So you try to sweep it under the rug, you can't. The president brings it to the forefront with all his tweets and all his comments about it. You have half the owners that think, you know what, you should be out there and you should be respecting the flag. You have other half of the owners that think, you know what, the players, they have the right, and if they want to protest it, they should be able to. You got players that want to be out there and think they should. You got players that think, you know what, the cause is so great that I don't want to. There's no concept of what the right thing to do is. You know, I could walk down the street, ask 10 people right now. 5 would say, suspend these guys. You don't respect the flag, suspend them. Other 5 would say, you know what, they're bringing real awareness to social justice and the real problem at hand. So you're not going to make everybody happy. But what you have to do is figure out a way that the players and the owners can coexist with your solution. What is that solution? I have no idea. But that's where you have to get to. Because this, hey, Steve, what do you think? Stay in the locker room? Great. You, Joe, good? Yes. All right, we passed it. We're good. We're done. No, no. And the reason the NBA works so well is because the players and the owners work together. You want to wear a t-shirt? You want to wear a hoodie? You want to take social justice in action? You can. There's certain ways that we will work with you and help you. And there's other ways that are off limits, like the anthem. Tiger Birdie's 9. He's now 3 under. But the NFL can't get on the same page. And the players can't get on the same page. And the owners can't get on the same page. So if half the owners think one way, and half the owners think the other, and half the players think one way, and half the players think the other, how in the world are you going to come out with a fair, happy solution to this? You know what the answer is? You're not. So do the owners need to come out and say, here's the bottom line, you'll stand for the anthem and we will do something else to raise social awareness? Maybe. Do the owners need to come out and say, you want to kneel for the anthem? Kneel for the anthem. Stay in the locker room. Every man for himself. I don't know what the answer is. But I do know that where we are right now is completely broken. 800-919-3776. And you'll get 50 people that will call right now and say, You can protest, you just can't do it at work. And you get 50 people at a call and say, it's the biggest stage. That's where they have to protest. So we're not going to come up with the right answer. But you need to figure out a way to come to a middle ground between these two parties, the NFL owners and the NFL players. And truthfully, what I think, what you think, what the president even thinks, probably doesn't even matter all that much. Those two sides have to figure out a way. Kevin in Jersey. Kevin, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, I got the answer here.
So you have figured it out.
I got the solution.
Right.
Take the anthem and move it to halftime. That takes the players out of the equation. Now, the patriotic 80,000 people that's in the stadium, they can stand, do whatever they want to do. But you have to take the players out of the equation because the military gives the NFL $25 million. Now, the NFL makes $9 billion a year on this
thing. Right. And you hear $25 million and you think to yourself, oh, my God, that's a lot of money. And it is, but not in comparison to what this league is making.
Exactly. So take the players out of the equation. Do it at halftime. You still have your military thing going. You still got your patriotic thing going. But you don't penalize the players for protesting, which is what they have as far as their constitutional right. Plain and simple.
Nothing's plain and simple, Kevin. Thanks for the phone call. Nothing is plain and simple. Halftime, the anthem, that's not what we do. We do the anthem before a sporting event, before an event. We don't do the anthem at halftime. Look, the owners can come out and say, we demand that you're out there and you have your hand over your heart and you're respectful. But there's nothing that says that this is what it has to be. And the sad part of this is, if you ask anybody what the actual issue was that Kaepernick originally kneeled for, I bet you half the people have no idea that it was to raise awareness for brutality from the police. I'd be willing to bet you they have no idea because the issue isn't even the issue anymore. The issue is, do you stand for the anthem or do you disrespect for the anthem? Emmanuel in Flushing. Emmanuel, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Dave, how are you doing?
Good. What's going on?
I'm good. I think it's a waste of time because if the owners consulted with the players, we were not having this conversation. I don't think there's no plan because, to me, the NFL looks like they're fools because they don't want us to talk with the players. They can't even say, listen, you are affecting my bottom line. Instead, say we're going to make the rule whether you like it or not. They're forcing them. And in the end of the day, the NFL is going to make themselves look bad. And
going to make themselves look bad? I think we're well past going to make themselves look bad, Emmanuel. I think they already make themselves look ridiculous. Sorry. And this stay in the locker room was preposterous.
Yeah.
And you know what else is preposterous?
I know.
To the phone call. You know what else is ridiculous? The fact that they unilaterally come up with this decision, say all owners agreed. All owners didn't agree on that. They rushed it through. Can I see a show of hands? Yeah, more of you guys. Good. All right, great. Here we go. Let's go. Rules in, stay in the locker room, come out, respect the flag. That's it. If you want the players to feel like they're partners in the league, you have to get recommendations and ideas from them also. I mean, I guess you can come out and say, here's what we demand. Everybody will be out there for the anthem. Everybody will salute the flag. Everyone will stand. And if you don't, then you'll be suspended. I think you'll get tremendous backlash from the players. But can you do it? I guess you can. See, that's kind of the gray area. What can you and can't you do if you're the owners here? And what can you and can't you do if you're the players here? 800-919-3776. Even to the point where the president puts in his tweet. Isn't it in the contract that the players must stand at attention with their hands on their hearts? No. No, it's not. So I don't know what the right answer is, but I know the solution that we have now is not a solution. 800-919-3776. Now you get, I get this on Twitter from Elias Olney. How about just eliminating the anthem from the sporting event entirely? Why should we have to do that? And again, like the caller said, you have The Army is very heavily involved. The armed forces are very heavily involved in sponsoring the NFL. That's why we do this in the first place. Because they wanted the anthem, the players to be out there for the anthem to represent. I don't know what the right answer is. I know it's broken right now, and I don't know how it's fixable. And the issue that you have between the players and the owners is they're completely unrelatable to each other. NBA is not like that at all. NBA, there's a real fair give and take. You know what? You know what Roger Goodell should do? Is off to the side, go into his office and call Adam Silver and say, hey, Adam, what do you suggest here? Because you seem to really have a pulse of this whole thing.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Fine. Here's the Mets. This is some lineup today. If Sonny Gray can't slow this lineup down, we got big problems. Brandon Nimmo will lead off. Asdrubal Cabrera is going to DH and bat second. Your three-hitter, Wilmer Flores. Michael Conforto had a good night last night. He'll bat fourth to play left. Flores at first, by the way. Jose Bautista is playing third and batting fifth. Kevin Plawecki will catch and bat sixth. Ahmed Rosario will play short and bat seventh. God knows how Matt Dendecker got into the everyday lineup, but he is now, and he will play center and bat eighth. And your second baseman today will be none other than Jose Reyes, will be starting at second base for the New York Mets. So we go around the diamond, brought to you by Volvo of Glen Cove. Guys, do you recognize that I just read you the lineup? And after not playing in months and months, Yoenis Cespedes, who had a really good game last night, is not playing today?
Well, remember when Mickey Callaway said that he wouldn't be limited to like not being able to play in back-to-back games?
He played one game. He tells you he needs surgery, which will keep him out for about 8 to 10 months, and now he can't play. And he DH'd last night, for God's sakes. If this guy can't DH in back-to-back games, then get the surgery, schedule it for Monday morning. And I don't care if he's going to be out for 8 to 10 months. You have to have the surgery. This guy has to be functional.
Dave, if he, forget Monday morning, if he can't play in a game, why did he play last night?
I have absolutely no idea. You want to hear the Yankees lineup, Ty, your beloved Yankees?
Yes.
Would you say, now must win is ridiculous, but would you say that the Yankees really need to win this game today?
They absolutely need to win this game.
Absolutely need to, right?
100%.
All right. And that's, of course, Ty. He's SU Newhouse alum, Ty Butler. Right?
Thank you, Rothenberg ESPN.
Yeah, you're very, you know, don't, the fact that you have made such a faux pas, don't turn it on me. My Twitter is Rothenberg ESPN. I'm Rothenberg. I work at ESPN. This SU Newhouse alum. You think you're better than other people?
No, I don't at all.
Look at you. I see your smile. You think you're better than other people. Why doesn't it say Suni Oneonta?
Dave, because then I went through this already. Because then we got to go through the high school, and then why don't you have junior high school? Why don't you have elementary school? Why don't you have the church you attend?
Who puts their college or graduate school on their business card?
It's good for networking opportunities. Sometimes
so that's why you do it. You do it because you're bougie. You do it because you want people to go, oh, you went, oh, do you know Ian Eagle?
No.
Oh, Marv Albert? Marty Glickman? Oh, you went to the fame? Oh, my God. Adam Schein, do you know all these? Oh, my God. You went to Syracuse? You are a star in this industry, Ty.
No, it's not that. It's if I come across someone who, like me, went to Syracuse, there's an immediate networking connection there.
Right. It's lovely.
I think you're just a hater.
Mr. Bougie, no wonder you're a Yankees fan. Would you like to hear? Do you, when you go to the Yankees games, do you sit in like the lobster seats?
Last Yankee game I went to, I did sit in the legend suite.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So you like, you take in an inning, you drink some wine, you have some lobster, you have some shrimp, you go put your feet up. Waitress, Ty D. Butler, SU Newhouse alum, could you be a sweetheart and bring me some champagne, dear?
Certainly playing this up, but this personality fits more of you than it does me.
I'm not bougie. I'm anything but bougie.
Bad and bougie. Dave Rothenberg.
Aaron Hicks leading off for the Yankees. Aaron Judge batting second. Giancarlo Stanton in the three spot. Gary Sanchez, who struggled mightily last night, will be DHing and cleaning up. Didi Gregorius playing short and batting fifth. Miguel Andujar playing third and batting sixth. Greg Bird against the lefty Steven Matz will bat seventh and play first. Brandon Drury in the lineup for the Yankees. He'll play second. And Austin Romine will catch. He's the personal catcher for one Sonny Gray. 800-919-3776. Yankees and Mets, 1 o'clock today, of course, from Yankee Stadium. And then tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, so you get your whole day, which is not supposed to be great, by the way, a little rainy and overcast tomorrow, whole day with the family. You can settle in for an 8 o'clock first pitch on ESPN television. That's today's Around the Diamond, brought to you by Volvo of Glen Cove, the number one dealer in the country. Visit their winning team at Volvo Cars Glen Cove and drive off with confidence and your new Volvo today. Let's go to Calvin in Washington Heights. Calvin, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
How you doing, Russ? Dave, how you doing today?
Good. You couldn't say Rothenberg, could you, Calvin? Try it. Well, Rothenberg.
Rothenberg.
There you go. You're good. What's on your mind?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't want to say Rosenberg, so that's why I stopped.
That's fine.
Well, for the Yankees, you got to give up something. I'm a baseball fan. I'm not a Yankee fan. I just know my sports. The Yankees, if they want to get DeGrom, it's going to help you win multiple championships, and you got to give up your prospects. But if you are scared to give up Torres, there's another option of Blake Snell, which he has succeeded this year. He's not a big name. He's a big name, but not DeGrom. But I think he'll succeed for the Yankees because he has succeeded in the American League East. He's a left-handed pitcher, helps the Yankees because Sabathia is up to his last year of his contract.
He's 23. He's left-handed, and he's controllable.
Exactly. For four years for the New York Yankees.
Do you know what you'd have to give up
for Blake Snell? You have to do it if you're the Yankees. If you're a guy that knows your sports, you have to give this up because you have Severino and him paying them small amount of money. They're going to be together. It's going to help you win championships, not just this year, for multiple years. So you got to give up some of your prospects because not all of them are going to play in the major leagues. That was one point. The second point that I wanted to get across is the New York Mets 1-4 starters are actually better than the majority of the teams in the National League.
I think honestly, in all of baseball. I mean, the Mets 1-4 starters are top five in baseball. No one's going to argue
correct.
With that.
Correct. I honestly feel and think the problem is management, especially the manager. I honestly seen the last season, especially the 2015 season, when the Mets weren't even hitting. It was just they were winning very close games, 3-2, 2-1. The team was playing for the manager. Teams like the Pirates, teams like the Marlins, that has no pitching, really struggling with all their pitchers. The Aces have a 4-point-something ERA. There is no excuse for the Mets record to be in last place. I honestly feel like this falls in management. And pitching wins championships. Offense wins games. So the Mets, if I'm the Mets, I won't even give up DeGrom because you have one of the best 1-2 punch in baseball. Thank you for sharing. I know every point that I made was really smart, so I just wanted to get that across.
It might have been, like, if there was a Hall of Fame for callers, Calvin, I think you'd be like the Mickey Mantle of that. You'd be the Babe Ruth.
I'll be your co-host. When you need an intern, just call me. I listen to your show. But Blake Snell for the Yankees, if you don't want to give up Torres, give up some other prospects. Give up the international player you got from them last year that you're holding. Give them up.
You're gonna have to give up the DeGrom-like value for Blake Snell.
You do it because he's 23. He's 4 years of control. The guy's not even going to touch millions of dollars for the next couple of years. Come on, and you have him in Severino.
You got to be willing to pay. This is the
callers that are calling. It just shows the fantasy football leagues that they join, that they throw proposed trades like the one you just reject right away. Like, okay, I'm not caring about what the person
you're
is
right.
going to receive.
You're right.
You know? Like,
you're right because people have no idea. And thanks to call, Calvin. And also, no one looks at it from the other side. No one looks at it from the Tampa side or the Mets side and say, wait, they're going to take that for that player. So Terry Collins says, Cespedes is pretty sore today, so he's on the bench. Manager says he didn't read or hear anything that Cespedes said last night. I mean, something is so broken with the Mets right now. So complete. This guy rehabs for months, DHs one game, and is so sore that he can't play the next day? If he needs surgery, why did he not have the surgery 6 weeks ago? 8 weeks ago? If he has heel issues that are going to prevent him from playing decently for the next 8 to 10 months, have the surgery Monday morning. Have the surgery. Only the Mets. Only the Mets find a way to do this continuously. This is your best player. You've paid him a boatload of money. You have him locked up for the next 2 years. And now this? I mean, you have got to be kidding me. They are such a disaster of an organization. The manager doesn't know that the best player is suffering from multiple issues on his feet. How do you not tell Mickey Callaway what's going on? He doesn't know about the comments from last night? The guy plays one game in 3 months and he can't play again? What a joke. As good as you feel about beating the Yankees last night, do you have any confidence in this organization as a Mets fan? How can you? Jairus Familia, still a member of the Mets, by the way. Not available to pitch, but still a member of the Mets. Mickey Callaway says Yoenis Cespedes came in pretty sore today, which is why he's not in the lineup. The organization is fully aware of the Cespedes heel issues. We just need to continue to have him reevaluated by the experts. That's what the manager of the Mets says about Yoenis Cespedes. You can't make this stuff up. You thought it was Terry Collins. You think it's the doctors from last year. You think it's the trainers from last year. This is it's ridiculous. You may not have the money the Yankees have to spend. You may not have the farm system the Yankees have. You may not have the players that the Red Sox or the Astros have. But the way you treat this team from the Wilpons on down is Mickey Mouse-like.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
You could try. I feel, to be honest, I don't feel great today. I feel like you guys are going to have a good day. Now, I don't know if that's true. My Mets had a big win. Maybe my Achilles are not feeling like they should, but I'm hopeful that I can at least be mediocre today. Ty, would you like to start it off, my SU Newhouse alum on this particular show?
Funny you mention SU Newhouse because I have an SU Newhouse question for you.
Oh, I'm not going to know the answer to this. Look at you. You're going to your comfort zone, aren't you? You're going to your bougie little SU Newhouse alum.
1934, Syracuse University, the first one in the nation to offer a college credit radio course. What is the renowned college radio station for Syracuse University?
I think it's WAER.
Wow, I'm impressed. For someone who takes shots at Syracuse, you sure do know a lot of information.
Well, listen, I think you should know about the Syracuse program. It doesn't mean you to be thrown in everybody's face if you actually attended.
You're throwing in alums and the Tarico's. You're throwing in names and now the name of the station. Closet Syracuse.
WAER. That's one for one. Let's go to Spike in Jersey. Spike, you're on Stump Rothenberg on a Saturday.
Well, good to talk to my friend as always, and look forward to giving you a question on college basketball. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
What era is this from? Is this recent or is this old college basketball?
No, I'm going to preface that. I'll lay up for you. Here we go. Since 1985, 1986, this statistic has been kept. So it's 32-33 seasons. There's the top five players, I'd like two, who've made the most free throws in a season, a lifetime, their lifetime career. So 33 years, college basketball, you know every one of them. Obviously, they have to stay in school since 1985-86.
I will say Bobby Hurley.
Incorrect.
I will say Christian Laettner.
Incorrect. I was surprised, too. I'll give you one more chance. This is three strikes and you're out. One's near and dear of a school you love.
Really? Alonzo Mourning.
Oh, yes. Okay, and the other guy is a school you do not love.
North Carolina, Tyler Hansbrough.
Yes.
Did I win? I got
you
two
won,
or four.
Man. You came through. That's a good question. Look, I said it, so I'm giving myself a pat on the back. I think it's an interesting question because there's a lot of layers to it. Tyler Hansbrough's won Mourning's four. Two is Caleb Green, if you remember him.
No.
From Oral Roberts. Yeah, that would be a tough one. Troy Bell, BC, remember him?
Of course, a little guard, yep.
Okay, the other guy, too, I don't remember this guy. Vermont, Eddie Benton.
I don't remember.
Stephon Jackson.
Vermont. Actually, and thanks for the call, Spike. Yeah. Vermont is probably near and dear to our Ty D. Butler's Syracuse Newhouse alum. Vermont, if you remember, beat Syracuse in the first round of the tournament. I think it was a 4-13 matchup back in the day. Let's go to, I don't know, am I 2-0 or am I 1-1, Ty?
I'll give you 2-0.
You will?
That was a tough question.
Okay. Let's go to Joe in the car. Joe, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Rafi.
What's up, Joe?
You disappointed me losing the Rosenberg.
I got to be honest. I think it was somewhat fixed.
You disappointed me.
I'm sorry. I'm going to get your confidence back at some point in the not-so-distant future.
I got a good question for you. You ready?
All right. What's the genre?
Baseball.
Okay.
Who was the first Yankees pitcher to throw a no-hitter in their history?
Is it Jack Chesbrough?
No.
Now, I think they might have been the Highlanders at that time. Was it George Mogridge?
Yes, it was.
Okay. So I think they were the Highlanders when Chesbrough did it. And the first perfect game, I think, was Larson in the World Series. And I actually think, I don't remember if the Yankees won or lost that game with Mogridge. I'd have to look it up. All right, 800-919-3776. Ty, I think that's a successful one as well, right?
I'll give you that. 3 for 3. We're rolling here.
I'm doing better than I originally had thought would happen today. Let's go to Mikey in Farmingdale. Mike, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, what's going on, man?
How are you, buddy? What's the genre? Where are we?
Well, I'm going to let you pick your poison.
Oh, I like that. It's a choose my own adventure, Stump Rothenberg.
Yes. Do you want a factual question not pertaining to sports, or do you want a movie quote?
I'll take a what's the genre of the factual question not pertaining to sports?
I don't know. Just everyday kind of trivia.
I'll take everyday kind of trivia, the garden variety trivia.
Okay, here we go. What meat-eating mammal has the largest tooth?
Is the saber-toothed tiger still in existence?
No.
It's not?
No. And it clearly is alive right now and living today.
Is it the... I'm thinking the blue whale. The elephant. Is the tusk considered a tooth?
No.
I'm going to go blue whale.
Close, but you are incorrect, sir.
The hippopotamus.
It's the sperm whale.
Oh. If I would have just said whale... So close, so close. All right, that's a nice question. 800-919-3776. 3-1. Not bad. Pete in Staten Island. Pete, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
What's up, Dave? How you doing?
Good.
All right, this is a football question.
All right, NFL or college?
It's actually both.
Oh, okay.
All right, so who was the first coach, and I think actually the only coach, to win both a Rose Bowl and a Super Bowl championship?
Is it Dick Vermeil?
You got it. Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that was UCLA and, of course, the Rams. You know what I always remember about Dick Vermeil? And what a wonderful man. He would weep at the drop of a hat. I mean, just at any point, he would weep. Michelle, are you playing today?
I sure am.
You know what's amazing about what I'm doing is I thought I was going to not be great today. And let's be honest, I've been unbelievable.
Yeah,
right. Yes. Would you not say that I have been unbelievable?
I told you it would be a good day for you too.
I didn't realize I was going to be so good. All right, what? Where are you going here?
I'm going
old television is where you're going.
No, I'm going music.
Oh God, you're going to get me. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so name the first artist to release an album exclusively on the internet.
It's a nice question. It's got to be very recent. I'm thinking it's going to be like So it's probably the late 90s, early 2000s. I'm going to say, is it a boy band?
No.
Is it a legitimate act, or is it going to be like something?
A legitimate act.
Is this person someone that is world famous?
Yep.
And is adored around all music circles?
Yes.
Is this person not living anymore?
Too many hints, but this person is not living anymore.
Is it David Bowie?
No.
Oh. Is it Tom Petty?
No.
Oh. Whitney Houston?
No.
Yeah, I give up.
It's Prince.
Prince. Okay. So solely an internet album. That's not a bad question. Let's go to Noel in Union City. Is it Noel or Noel?
Noel.
Noel, you're on Stump Rothenberg. Go ahead, buddy.
A very easy one. Who was the second quarterback selected in the 2001 draft?
Second quarterback in the 2001 draft. Oh, God, now I got to think of that draft. So
I can give you one.
That's the Vic draft.
Yeah.
So second quarterback in that draft. This is a very easy one. Because I don't think the second quarterback was taken for a really long time. That's Tomlinson went 5 in that draft. It's not in the first round, is it?
Not sure. The card just says who
is it. Breeze?
Selected. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so he was the first pick of the second round by the Chargers.
Drew B. Correct.
There you go. And by the way, that's not a very easy question. Not at all. All right, let's Ty. You got another one?
I got another one.
Now you are shocked at how well I'm doing today.
No, we talked about this during the break. You said, how am I going to do? I said, you're going to be phenomenal.
I don't know.
Ceiling high.
This is beyond my expectations, but go ahead. By the way, Tiger Woods, 6 under. He's on 15. If he hits this birdie, he has the outright lead round 3 at the Open. This is what we do. We keep everyone up to date on everything going on. Go ahead, Ty.
So CC Sabathia, happy 38th birthday to him today. He attended Vallejo High School in California.
You're going to ask me his high school question.
Okay, yep. He played a couple of sports, baseball, basketball, football. What position did he play in football?
He was the tight end.
Yes, that would be correct.
Was he really?
He was.
I mean, I should go on Jeopardy. Would you not love, how much would you love to see me on Jeopardy?
And I'm pretentious. Look at you.
Jeopardy's pretty hard, so that's.
Look what I'm doing. I mean, I'm dominating today. If Alex Trebek is listening, he should call and get me on the show. Jim in Jersey. Jim, you're up.
Hey, Dave. Football question. How many career 100-yard receiving games does Odell Beckham Jr. have?
Oof. I mean, this is a hard question. You're not giving me within a couple? I have to get it on the nose?
Within 3.
I'm going to say 18.
Oh, 19.
So that's great.
Yeah, you got it.
There you go. And I was under, so I'd win both showcases. Ty, should we call it right now?
I say you take one more.
Because you want me to end on a loss.
Flirt with
want.
Danger. Take one more.
No, I think we should call it right now.
I think you should take
one more.
What, really?
Yeah, one more.
All right. Marty in Queens. Marty, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
How you doing?
What's up, Marty?
Let me get you off the speaker. Hold on, Dave.
Oh, take your time. The last thing I want to do is rush you, Marty.
Oh, God bless you. God bless you, my friend. First of all.
You're all right? Is things okay?
You got me?
I got you.
Okay. You are the most interesting person to listen to. You can wake me up in the morning. As far as the question goes, I'll get to that in a second. I'll call in with something else. You are so spot on. They should throw a powerhouse deal. Casting should make us money now. They should get anything they can because their farm system is so deep they won't be lacking for years. Nobody said that before, not Michael Kay, nobody. I got to tell you something. They should get DeGrom. They'll be the best team in baseball.
They'll be the best team in baseball. Marty, let's get to your – you have a question here for Stump Rothenberg?
Why is basketball called cage?
Why is what?
Basketball called cage.
called Cage?
That's right. You know, no, oh, you're not old enough. Yes, it's called Cage. It was called Cage in the 50s or 60s. And it's always been called Cage. You don't know that. I'm
no,
shocked.
I never heard, because they used to play in cage-like arenas.
Bingo.
Is that really right? I mean, thanks for the call, Marty. Ty, what I just did, you can't even, you can't replicate.
It's almost like you stumble upon intelligence.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, I think at the bottom of my business card, I should put David H. Rothenberg.
By the way, when has basketball ever been called Cage?
I guess for Marty, when he was, you know, 1,000 years ago. Can I put SU Newhouse alum?
Go right ahead, man. You got
Can
the
I borrow
smarts.
That from you?
You've got the smarts.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.